You're listening to David Kaplan. Weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
O'clock in the beautiful city of Chicago.
Woo!
Our hometown.
Your show, Cap. I'm happy to be on your show today.
It's our show.
Feels good, Cap. Feels good.
Our show.
Feels good.
Love
Carmen and Yerk are on today, or are they on?
Carmen and Yerk will be here.
Nice. I haven't seen those boys in a while.
How about that?
Haven't seen them since last year.
About that.
Get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it. Yeah. Well, let's go back to our guest line. We've been talking a lot about the scandal in Major League Baseball. We talked some about the national championship game last night. But the Bulls also played last night, and shockingly, they got their head kicked in again. Brian Windhorst is one of our favorites. He is awesome. He works for ESPN, and he joins us now. Brian, good morning. How are you? And Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Hey, Brian.
I'm good. Thank you.
So the Chicago Bulls are what we like to say mired in a little difficulty. And having worked in that league for 4 years, I've still got some friends in the league in management positions who are telling me they believe that finally, because there's empty seats in the building, that massive change is going to come to the Bulls after this season. A, do you believe it? And B, if you do, what is massive change?
I don't know. I mean, I think what's happened here is this has been a real disappointing season. We knew that they were going to be in a little period of rebuilding after the Butler trade, and the rebuild just hasn't really progressed. I mean, you look at some other teams out there. I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies are 1 year into their rebuild. Look at what they've got going for them. And part of it is they got lucky in the lottery. The Bulls have just not gotten lottery luck, and drafting seventh is a big difference between drafting second in a year where Ja Morant is available. They just haven't gotten lucky, and those picks that they made, they're good players, but none of them looks like a future star. I mean, I really think that, you know, I expected Lauri Markkanen, after the way he finished last year, I expected him to really be taking a huge step forward this year, and it hasn't happened.
And what has happened, Brian, with him? From your vantage point, what has happened with Markkanen?
He just, you know, I don't think he feels comfortable with the way they play every night. And I don't know if that's a his problem or if that's a system problem. I don't know. I just I don't think he's always put in position I don't think he looks like he's always put in a position to be successful. But again, I don't want to point a finger at that. There could be a bunch of different reasons why it is. I thought this Bulls team was going to contend for – I thought they were going to win in the high 30s, and I thought that was going to be good enough to contend for the 7th or 8th seed. And I thought that would have been a step forward, and that's clearly not happening. And, you know, they just they've been unable to acquire a star player. I mean, is that the front office's fault? Is that the bad lottery luck's fault? Is that, you know, Jim Boylan's fault? Is that Fred Hoiberg's fault? I don't know. I just know that it hasn't worked. And so I do think that there needs to be changes, but I can't sit here and say, oh, well, just do A, B, and C, and that'll work, because team building is very hard. And this is one of the things I always talk about when I hear fans say a lot, blow it up, just blow it up. They get frustrated and they say, blow it up. Well, it's fun to blow it up when you are running a fantasy team. It's fun to blow it up when you're playing a video game. When you actually have to put pieces together to raise up, it's hard. And, you know, John Paxson in the past has been able to build competitive teams. He's built them a couple of different times, and I'm sure he believed that he'd be able to do it again. He ultimately didn't build a championship team, but he built a couple of really good, highly competitive teams that if one break goes here or there, maybe they are in the finals. So I understand why he believed he could do it, but it just hasn't worked out the way that he hoped. And that's life. In the NBA, for every winner, there's a loser. It's not like business, where your business and my business and his business can all do well. In the NBA, there's a finite number of wins, and the other teams who have been building have had better fortune and better execution than the Bulls in this latest 3-year sort of rebuild period.
Brian Windhorst, our guest here on ESPN 1000 in Chicago in the First Midwest Bank studio. Do you believe, and I know you were on a podcast, and you said, I'm not reporting this, I'm simply saying Kyle Kuzma might get moved. Could a Lauri Markkanen, Kyle Kuzma deal make sense? Do you think it makes sense?
And we were just having a conversation about, I mean, I just said that there was a league executive that brought that up to me. I didn't care that that's a real conversation. We were just having a conversation on the podcast. But I will say this, that both Kuzma and Markkanen are in the same boat, which is that they're third year players that you feel really good about, but I have no idea what they're going to be. And in both scenarios, like, they're both due for contract extensions in the fall. What do you pay Lowry Markkanen? I mean, do you bet on him? Can you give him a huge contract at this stage of the game? I mean, somebody would, I think. I don't know what you do, and that's the problem you want to be in. Teams have no problem giving out huge contracts to players that they believe in after their third year. Like, Donovan Mitchell is going to get a big contract. That's an easy decision. You want it to be an easy decision. It's a really hard decision. And that's what is, you know, that you don't want that. You don't want to wonder whether or not this guy's a core piece or a franchise cornerstone. You want that question to be loud and clear coming into a guy's fourth year. And that is just really not the case in my viewpoint. Maybe the Bulls view it differently, but in my viewpoint, that's not the case with him.
Do you think, looking at this team, that people in the league, and I've talked to some who would answer this question, I'll tell you what they said after you give me your answer, that if they had a far more impressive coach, a professional coach that has had success winning, a Tom Thibodeau type, a Jeff Van Gundy type, I'm not even talking about a legendary like guy like Popovich, if they had an Eric Spoelstra here, does this team have a lot more wins?
This team would have a lot more wins if they could execute in the fourth quarter of games. And I think there's a number of fingers that you could point on that. I don't think that this team always plays very smart. Is that the coach's fault? I think, you know, I don't know. I think their focus sometimes wanes. Is that the coach's fault? I don't know. I think Jim is a unusual type of NBA coach. They definitely went outside the box with that hire. And there have been outside-the-box hires that have really worked out. You know, I mean, again, go back to Memphis. They hired Taylor Griffin. That was – nobody was thinking that Taylor Griffin was headed to be – I mean, some people were, obviously, but he wasn't a name. And he's done a great job there. But that was a – you know, that was a bit of an out-of-the-box hire that has worked. You know, other out-of-the-box hires haven't worked. John Beilein in Cleveland, that's not working. A lot of people thought that was a great hire, but people were praising that up and down, out-of-the-box hire, not working. You know, so it could have worked, but, you know, I don't know if it's all tribute to the coach. I would say this. If you're Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf, you watch so many of these games where your team is leading, either going into the fourth quarter or within the fourth quarter, you could probably believe that if you just corrected a thing or two, that possibly your team could improve rapidly. And when ownership feels like that, typically the head coach is the guy that pays the price for that. But I mean, if you've watched the Bulls, it's not just a coaching situation. There's a lot of things at play, including their youth. They lose games at sometimes because they're young and you see it. I mean, there's a bunch of things contributing.
So if they did make massive changes, people have assured me is going to happen. I've been told that it would be a major upgrade to the scouting department, a brand new, with authority, voice in basketball operations. Do you think that there are executives in the game that would, A, say, yeah, I'm in? I'm not talking about a low-level executive. I'm talking about a rising star. Or is there a guy out there like Theo Epstein went to the Cubs? They were able to steal him away from Boston. Is there an executive that they could say, all right, what's it going to cost us? Masai Ujiri, Bob Myers at Golden State. Like, pick one of the really good guys, Daryl Morey. Yep, I'm in. I'm stealing him away. Could they get a guy like that?
I don't. I know what you're saying about these rumors. I don't necessarily believe that's necessarily going to happen. And I definitely don't think the Bulls would go that route. I think that John Paxson has been with the organization for, what, 25 years?
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's leaving.
John Paxson has won a championship with the organization. He has built multiple winners with the organization. I think John Paxson has proven that he can do it. I think John Paxson is not going anywhere, like you said. So I think if there's changes that are made, I think that, you know, the guy who has devoted all of his time and devoted his career to making the Bulls a great team is going to be a part of that. And he's got a track record where he's proved. Another thing is, if you look at the Reinsdorfs, and I mean, I don't have a chapter and verse history of the White Sox, but I think that they've pretty much supported their front office there for a long period of time too.
Brian, so, if it did become available, what would be the want from people outside of Chicago? Is that would that be a prime job to come to Chicago?
Well, people in the league respect the way if you're a front office person, you would respect the way the Bulls as an organization back their front office. In fact, this has been argued as been a weakness of the Bulls, but they back their front office over their coach almost all the time. But that's a positive trait. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that people always come to try to steal things from the Spurs. How many assistant coaches have been stolen from the Spurs over the years? But these teams never duplicate what the Spurs do best, which is stability. They've had the same general manager and president and coach for all these years. Nobody wants to duplicate stability because stability is hard. You look at the Miami Heat. Pat Riley's in his 25th year there. He's built two totally separate championship teams, and now he's trying to build a third. He's making progress on a third. You know, stability. Stability is valued. So if you're a guy who's looking to come to an organization, the Bulls are attractive because they're stable. They have support of ownership. But because they're stable, it also means that it's hard to get in there. They haven't hired a front office lead executive in a long, long time. So I don't know what their plan to that would be. But, you know, if you're talking about a big name isn't going to come to Chicago if they're looking for somebody unless he'd be the top guy. I just think John Paxson's going to remain the top guy. And frankly, from the Reinsdorf's perspective, I understand that. Why gamble with somebody who, when you know this guy's done it before? Like I said, it's just been a three-year period here where they just haven't had fortune, and the players that they've picked have been good but not great. I can't sit there and say, well, if I had three number seven picks in a row, I would have gone with these separate players over here, and the Bulls would be in second place in the East right now. I think they really have just needed some fortune that would have helped them along that some other teams got, and they haven't.
But Brian, and I like John. I think John has had some great moments in this franchise. But the fact of the matter is, he's gone to one Eastern Conference Final. They've hired, Lord knows what, at least seven coaches, and they always seem to end in a messy fashion. So people out there are saying, okay, you've had since 2003 16 years. Maybe it's time. If he's going to be the consultant or the guy with Jerry and Michael, fine, but it's time for a fresh set of eyes to come into the front office and try and bring you a different perspective. Is that a fair way to put it?
I guess we'll see. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I would just say that if you're dreaming of Masai Ujiri or Bob Myers or Daryl Morey, I don't think that's the direction the Bulls will go.
Probably well said. Brian, thanks, man. Appreciate all the knowledge as always.
Okay, take care.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
there you
Brian.
Go. Brian Windhorst. Yeah, I'm not expecting the Bulls to have a press conference and go, yeah, we've hired Bob Myers away from the Golden State Warriors. We signed him to a five-year, $50 million deal because that's what it would take. And he's coming in and he's got ultimate threat. I don't expect that to be the case. What I do expect is they're going to overhaul scouting. They are going to bring in a fresh set of eyes. And I'm not talking about, you know, some 22-year-old analytical guy who gets an office down the hall. No, they're going to bring in somebody who has some experience in the game, and he will be working with John. That's what I think will happen.
Is that enough?
I don't know. It's a great question, Edzo. I don't know. Like, I respect Jerry's loyalty. Mm-hmm. I respect 100%. It immensely. And people who have worked for him, who are friends of mine, have all said, dude, he's the best to work for. I get it. I can just tell you that if I was the owner of a team, and I love you, Edzo, dearly, we're dear friends. If I had given you 16 years, mm-hmm. and now I see on certain nights, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 empty seats. And I look up and go, boy, my team's terrible again. And now we're becoming irrelevant. People don't care. And our ratings are down, radio, TV, whatever the case may be. I'd be like, Eddie, I love you. You'll have a job with me for life, but I have to bring in a new voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd understand that.
Yeah. Well, it's not easy. I mean, change of voice, change of direction, philosophy, whatever it is. But, I mean, where is that line? I mean, where is that, you know, how far do you go?
Agreed. Agreed. Let's go back to the phones. 312-332-3776. Joe Jackson. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, I'm calling from heaven. I'm a part of the Chicago Black Sox, and I'm mad that these clowns in Houston, the punishment should be that they should change the name from the Houston Astros to the Houston Asses. We got labeled the Black Sox, and it stuck forever. These guys get away with everything.
Right, and all you guys got banned from the game. Joe, they don't even have you in the Hall of Fame, and you deserve it.
Hold on. Johnny Red Kerr wants to talk. Hey, this is Johnny Red Kerr. Stop talking about the Bulls and start talking about the Illini. They got a great team down there. All right, I'm going to let you guys talk. I got to go.
Hey, wait, Joe, can you do us a favor?
What's that?
Is John Lennon around?
Yeah, he's over in the corner smoking some weed. What? Why? What do you need?
Can you sing us a song to break or what?
Nah, I'm sorry. I got to go. We're busy up here. But you guys are doing a good job down there in the city of Chicago. You guys have a nice day.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Shoeless Joe Jackson Thank up
you.
In heaven.
Thank you. They all had the same voice.
They did. I guess maybe when you get to heaven, you get the same voice. That's it. 312-332-3776. Massey's down in Bradley. What's up, Massey?
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, you know what? People are trying to compare this this Astros baseball thing to Reggie Bush and getting paid. And whatever college scandal there was, none of that affected the play on the court. If Reggie Bush wasn't getting paid, that game was still going to be the same outcome. This Astros deal was affecting the play on the court. That was an out-and-out more of a cheat. How can you compare the two? That doesn't make sense.
Well, just cheating is cheating, right? I think that's probably where it is.
Well, yeah, that being said, but it's still, but there again, Reggie Bush getting paid didn't change that run. If he was getting paid, he would have still got that run. They still would have won that game, so that doesn't make any sense. This
well,
deal
maybe,
was
maybe
there
if he
fouling
didn't,
off
if,
pitching.
If he didn't get paid there, maybe he might. If he didn't wasn't going to get it there, maybe he would have got paid if he went somewhere else. Maybe, right? I mean, right?
Well, that very well could be true, but it still didn't change the outcome of the actual game, though. The game in itself was played straight up.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but again, if a guy shouldn't be on your roster because you paid him, I mean, you know, it still affects the outcome of the game. I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
312-332-3776 is our phone number.
So do you think baseball went far enough?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
And you would like to have seen the players get penalized.
Yeah, and I understand they had to give them immunity to get them to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking your ring. I don't care about the freaking piece of jewelry. Do whatever you want with it.
Right.
I'm not going to melt them down, but I'm taking your title. You can never be referred to again as a world champion unless you want it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy. Your title is tainted.
Are there off the top of my head, I can't. Not thinking straight right now, but well, what about future Hall of Famers on the Astros right now? I mean, is Altuve, do you think he's on the...
You got to keep them all out per Cap's rules.
That's where I'm going.
All of them out.
All of them.
What do you think?
Right, Cap? You got to keep them out. Like all the great players from the 90s who used steroids, you are at the doors of Mordor like Gandalf saying, do not enter when it comes to the World Series. That's you, Cap. You are anti-steroid guys in the Hall of Fame. So these Astros players, they can't get into the Hall of Fame either.
Yeah, how about that?
All of them. They got to be out. Who don't they have some great pitchers who could be up for the Hall of Fame at some point? A Garrett Cole, perhaps?
Yeah, how about Verlander?
Verlander? Right. No. No, you shall not pass.
Well, hold on a second.
What do you mean, hold on? Their team cheated. They won a championship.
But I don't think that Justin Verlander was cheating.
Well, what do you mean? Helping.
This renaissance took place with the Astros the last couple of years. Yes.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I can't put in Barry Bonds because I don't trust his numbers.
Okay, and you don't trust the Astros. They won a championship while cheating.
Yeah, I want to take their title. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. 312-332-3776.
Keep your head up over there, you little buckaroo. It's okay. Chris and I just put you in your place, okay?
Yeah,
it's been fun.
I don't think
you did. Oh, no. I think every... Look at right here.
You shall
screen.
Not pass! So,
yeah, right. I never heard Cap try to get to break so quick as after what Chris just did to him.
It's that's his M.O., Danny.
Gotta go.
We got to run. Here we go.
My Twitter poll question in the wake of MLB's punishment of the Houston Astros.
My Twitter poll.
Yeah, it's on my Twitter.
Oh, that's right. Your show, my... You know what? Why don't you just zip it over there?
Why don't you get a Twitter?
Get us the break.
In the wake of MLB's punishment
for coming into the show today
for their sign-stealing scandal, do you believe the 2017 Houston Astros should have their World Series title stripped? Be right back.
We talked to a current Bear, a former Bear, and a Baylor Bear. We'll talk to Anthony Miller, Robbie Gould, and our friend Trey Wingo. Plus, we'll recap the national championship.
Waddle and Sylvia, 2 o'clock on ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 1000 with Eddie Olczyk, Danny Zetterman, and Chris Black.
Let's go, Titans! Kaplan. Let's go! Woo! Would that 50 to 1, Cap, I got him. 50 to 1 to win a Super Bowl.
I thought you were talking
three
about
weekends left to go in the NFL season.
I thought you were talking about
stepped up to the table. Stepped up to the window. Forget the table.
I thought you were talking about the Illinois Wesleyan Titans, my son's alma mater. You meant the Tennessee Titans.
Sure. Let's go, Titans.
Good luck.
Is the name of my first dog? My first dog was Muggsy. Sorry. The first dog that I had with my wife was named Titan. And then because the stick I used in the NHL was a Titan. So really going to hope that your guy Tannehill can do the job to go to KC.
Get her done.
50 to 1, Cap. They're 5 to 1 right now to win the Super Bowl. Last time I looked, anyways, I think it was 5 to 1. So
if someone said to you, I'll give you 500 for the ticket right now,
chance.
Would you do it?
Not a chance.
Wow.
Not a chance. Would you go bet 500 on KC this week?
Well, if I had to bet the game,
No, I'm asking. You know that you're sitting on a ticket, which is what I have, at 50 to 1. Would you go and bet? Danny, Chris, I want you guys in on this.
Yes,
Cap's looking at me like I'm dumb
or
something.
Absolutely.
What would you guys do? Would you go bet the Chiefs and just hedge a little bit?
Well, the Caesars line brought to you by the book at Horseshoe Hammond has the Chiefs -7.5.
Okay.
Would I bet the Chiefs -7.5? Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Just
if I had your ticket,
yeah, right.
I would. If someone offered me 500 for your ticket, I'd say yes, take it. No offense, Edzo. I don't think you're cashing that one.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, would you
just
if
bet
you're
the
me,
Chiefs.
Would you go and bet? Would you go bet 500 on the Chiefs, lay the points, and hedge, at least so that I make
a little. See, Edzo, where I come from, you double down.
Right.
You say I like what I saw from this Tennessee team and what they've built here, so I'm taking the Titans and the points. I'm putting more money down on this bet, and I'm going to win it.
Right.
That's the way I would play.
Yeah. I would hedge.
You would, huh?
Go bold or go home.
Yeah, Cap. What would you do? You would hedge?
I would hedge. I'd play 500 this weekend.
I think the only time that I would hedge, and again, this is the horse player in me, is if somehow the Titans can do. If they can do that amazing run that they've been on, if they can go to Kansas City and win, you'll probably see me hedging in the Super Bowl.
Great.
If they can get there, right? Yeah. That'd probably be the...
See, I think the Titans' toughest matchup will be Sunday against the Chiefs.
49ers would be tough. Because they can control
but they
the
don't
run.
Have the kind of offensive fire.
Okay.
See, like,
let me
to beat the Chiefs, they're going to have to stop Patrick Mahomes. Because if Patrick Mahomes gets out to scoring 48 points, they have no shot.
Right.
Whereas they could keep up with the 49ers because they're not putting up 50 points a game.
Did you think that way before the weekend with Baltimore?
Yeah. The Chiefs.
You think Kansas City Chiefs offense was way better than Baltimore's?
Well, I thought
going into the weekend, that's what I'm asking.
I thought that the Baltimore-Kansas City game would be our Super Bowl, even though it would be the AFC Championship game. I thought those two offenses.
So you think the offense is washed?
What do you mean washed?
Well, no, I mean like they're equal. Like you.
Well,
think
no, I still think the Chiefs' offense is better.
Okay, all right.
But I think that I thought that the Ravens' offense would be far better than the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
Cap, I mean the Titans have a quarterback that can't throw the ball more than 14 times, and although his passer rating's over 100, I feel like yours would be if you threw the ball 14 times in an NFL game.
But he also has the ability and has some games where he can light it up.
Look, the only way that they I think this game is going under. I'm just telling you, like, I think this game, I think that obviously the Titans are on a roll and a half, right? Without a doubt. The only shot that they have is to keep it. Give the ball to Henry how many times? Give it to him 75 times, Kev. What do you think? Right? I mean, that's the only, you're not going to get in a shootout and win, right? You're not.
Correct.
You can't give them any freebies.
Like, you're not beating them 45-38.
I mean, look what they've done. They've gone in New England, gone into Baltimore. And now they're going to go into Kansas City. I mean, can Kansas City play any better offensively than they did last weekend, except for the first, you know what, 10 plays or 12 plays when they dropped like 15 passes or whatever it was? Well, answer me. Do you think that they can?
No. From the second quarter on, no, right. They cannot.
So why not? Why can't Tennessee go in there?
Be amazing. Time to play our fun game known as Shot, No Shot.
That's why I say.
Shot, No Shot, with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, I
shot. Hey, Shot, No Shot brought to you by Lou Malnati's, 62 locations and counting. Go to LouMalnati's.com to order online or find a location near you in Northwestern. Football and basketball, they are Chicago's Big Ten team season, and single game tickets are always available at NUSports.com. Go Cats. Daniel.
Gentlemen, since it is the biggest story of the day, we've been talking about it all morning, I will ask you once again. The Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal cost manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow their jobs. Boston Red Sox manager Alex Cora could be next. Houston was fined $5 million. They lost their first and second round draft picks in 2020 and 2021. Shot or no shot, the penalty was harsh enough.
No shot. Penalty was not harsh enough. They should have been stripped of their World Series title if you're not going to be able to punish the players because you had to grant them immunity to get them to talk. So, yeah, sorry. No longer can you be referred to as a world champ, at least for the 2017 Houston Astros. Absolutely lame by Rob Manfred.
Wow. I'm going to say no shot, Danny, because I came in this morning and suggested to really hurt the team is to take away one of those roster spots. And I think if you would have done that, I think it would have been fine. Look, everybody's always looking to get an edge. It's always been a part of Major League Baseball. But I think could they have taken it a step further and removed a roster spot and really hurt the team moving forward for the next couple of years? So instead of being able to carry, what, they're going to 26 this year, Cap?
26.
Is that right?
26.
So instead of going to 26, you're only allowed to go to 25, or maybe your grandfathered in and said, you know what? You're gonna lose two players. I don't know.
You're just 24.
Yeah, whatever. But I think Danny, I would have gone one step further and really, really tried to send a strong message. So I would have liked to have seen him at least do something like that. So I'll say no shot, not enough.
Sticking with the Astros scandal, since A.J. Hinch took over the Astros as manager in 2015, Houston has the second-best winning percentage in the majors over that span at .594, trailing only the Dodgers. Also, the Astros have won 100 or more games in each of the last three seasons, tied for the longest streak of 100-win seasons in Major League Baseball history.
Wow.
So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, A.J. Hinch manages again, perhaps on the south side.
I think manage shot. I have no idea on whether or not it's with the White Sox or not.
There's zero chance. Jerry would never hire a guy like that ever.
Okay, never say never, but just don't think he's going to.
I'm telling you.
Okay, don't
never.
Look at me and yell at me. I'm just asking you a question.
No, you didn't ask me a question. You said don't ever say never, and I'm saying never. He would never, ever hire that guy. Never. Because you've emerged from this decade-long slumber rebuilding. Oh, and let's get a crook in here to manage the team.
Now he's a crook.
Yeah, Danny, he is.
Do you think any of your favorite players have ever, like, taken an edge somewhere?
My favorite player was wore number 16 for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay. Well, look at
he better not have.
I took an edge every once in a while, just for the record. I mean, really?
Yeah. I'm okay. just telling you,
do you think he manages again?
I do not.
You do not?
No.
Wow.
I do not think he ever manages a major league team again.
Now, he's come out already, right? In publicly, right?
Right.
A.J. Hinch has?
Right. Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Buster Olney was on Golic and Wingle this morning. He says he will get a job immediately when the suspension's over.
Okay. Buster's entitled to his perspective. I think Buster's wrong.
All right, moving on. The great thing, Edzo, besides you being a mensch, a great man, and us being so happy to see you whenever you come in, the good thing for Chris and I is that we're allowed to talk Blackhawks. Cap has a real no Blackhawks rule when you're not around.
Okay, can I just say this?
Yes.
Now that you opened the door, and I'm going to just skate right through.
Yeah.
Please do.
Geez, I can't even remember what day it was. I think it was last Friday. Shea was here, right?
Yeah.
On Friday? You guys came on the air at 9 o'clock and 47 seconds. I'm always watching the clock at home while I'm working out. And the what would you call it? The intro to the show, is that right, Chris?
Uh-huh.
Was highlights
from
the Blackhawks Predators game.
I know what you're going to say,
Hold on a second. Hold on. So now you're playing the three goals in the first period that Nashville scored against the Blackhawks. They fall down 3-0. They make a miraculous comeback, make it 3-2. Nashville gets a goal. And then their goaltender, Pekka Rinne, scores from 198 feet into the Blackhawks' empty net. Welcome into Cap and Company. I'm David Kaplan. Welcome to my show. I'm here with Shea Pepler, Danny Zennerman, and Chris Bleck. And we got big football weekend. Not one mention about the intro to the show. Not one.
100%.
Not one.
100% correct. Yeah. Yeah. Bleck and I looked at each other and said, is he even going to mention the Hawks highlights?
Thanks,
oh, my God. Thanks to NBC Sports Chicago, Pat Foley, and I know my pal Eddie Olchek was sitting there watching a tough game on the Hawks. He can't fall behind 3-0. But look what happened. For the first time in 1,000 years, a goalie scores a goal into the empty net. And it's the first time. Excuse me. It's the first time it's ever happened to the Blackhawks. And you just, I mean, it was like... Right. He just glossed right over. I was so proud of Chris Bleck to put on, even though it was low lights. I get it.
It was at my direction.
Why didn't you take it to another level after?
Wow.
No, you didn't.
You didn't even mention it.
Wow,
Danny.
You
didn't mention it.
Nothing.
Wow.
Now, you know what? You're as big as a crook as AJ Hinch.
Hold on a second.
That is not true. You skated right past it. You didn't even listen. You probably didn't even hear it.
Danny, he can't skate, so don't say he skated right by it, okay?
First of all.
He slipped by it.
First of all. Later on in the show, I talked I talked all about the over in Vegas with 6.5 and the Pekka Rinne goal affecting the outcome there. Yeah. I talked about the last time a goalie scored in the National Hockey League. Can you tell me that, Edzo? Was the last
Mike
time?
Mike Smith.
No, not who. Last time it happened. Give me the month and the year. I don't need the day.
I'm going to say it was in 09.
Yeah, it was... October of 2013.
Okay, 13.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Because I talked about it on the air.
Wait a second. That's not... this.
And you should know that. You're the analyst on the Blackhawks
Hold on a second. Just wait one. Don't drag me down how you just absolutely ignored the intro to your show. You should talk more hockey on this show. You should.
I don't disagree.
Okay, now wait a second. Chris introduces your show. And you don't even acknowledge the call of what happened on that game.
Because hold on a minute.
No, absolutely not. You were wrong. You are a crook. You're fraudulent. That's what you are.
Because
you're a fraud.
In my ear, Danny went, Football Friday, right to football.
No, Danny would not do that. Danny would not do that. He has more respect for me. He has more respect
than me. You know how many times Danny's taking a shot at
him? No, listen, don't, wait a minute. You know what you're doing right now is so shady. You're on a 50,000-watt station. You're being called out for simply not listening to your own show or ignoring the Hawks, and you're trying to point fingers at everybody else.
I didn't ignore
the Hawks. Let's get to the Hawk question.
Now I'm going
to
tell you a true story and pull back the curtain. On that day, this is 100% true story. On that day that he ignored the Blackhawk highlights, I emailed the new boss, Mike Thomas, and said, should we skip playing highlights anymore at the start of the show? That's a true story, because Cap skated right past him.
All right. Are you going to get to the questions or what?
All right. Let's get... Well, you're pointing fingers
at
everyone else.
Don't get defensive. Just say, you know what, Edsel, you're right. I was wrong. That's all you got to say, and we'll move on.
I wasn't, because I got to it later, because hockey came in second to football. Sorry. Take that.
Edsel, let's talk Hawks. Okay. The Blackhawks are sitting in last place in the Central Division of the Western Conference. Sure, there is hope they make the playoffs, but as Red says in Shawshank Redemption, let me tell you something, my friend, hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. So I ask you, shot or no shot, your, mine, Chris Bleck, Chicago Blackhawks, are sellers at the trade deadline?
There is a no shot because I think they're going to use the money that they have created through long-term injured reserve. And that would be from the Calvin DeHaan injury and the Brent Seabrook injury. And they are going to acquire an expiring contract. And for allowing a team to park their bad contract on the Blackhawks salary cap, they are going to acquire draft pick capital.
They haven't done
Take
it in
that.
This...
Danny.
With this regime, Danny, they haven't... hasn't been opportunity. I guess you could look at maybe 2 years ago when they had a tough season, but I think these next 7 to 10 games are huge on the decision of the direction that they're going to go. So I'm going to say no shot because the Western Conference is down this year. Seems like they're always going to be within arm's reach, but, you know, as Jeremy Colliton has said, they've got to go on a roll. They haven't been able to do it yet. Like, I mean, they're on a nice roll right now. They've won 8 of 13, but you're going to have to go on a... you're going to have to win 15 of 20, and I don't know if they can do that. So, I don't know. I honestly, I don't want to take the fifth, but I haven't seen them sell in the last 10 years. But as Cap likes to say never, right? I mean, he, right? So.
And then sometimes he says, always say never.
Yeah. Okay. Why do you have a trombone going over there, Cap?
I don't know.
what are you doing back
you're
there,
You're unbelievable. this guy here.
Do you want to blame Edsel for global warming now while you're at it?
Sure.
Go ahead, Danny.
No, just blame me for the Blackhawks, too. Why don't you? Just blame me. Why not? Go ahead, Cap.
Never. No chance.
All right.
Danny.
That's it, my friend.
Wow,
time
awesome.
Does not permit for another.
That was awesome.
Can we do another after the break?
I don't know, Cap, how I feel about you. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Danny, let's have a meeting, me, you, and Kristen, and we'll...
Oh, like the meeting we had this morning.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. You guys are brutal. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come right back. Don't forget Carmen York, top of the hour. Waddle, Sylvie at 2, and Hoodie tonight. Be right back.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, 11:45 in the great city of Chicago. Edsel's back next week. Excited to have you in here a little bit more, kid.
Yeah, schedule permits. So I got a nice little stretch coming, too, there. We got the NHL All-Star Game actually next week. I'll be back in St. Louis for the skills and the All-Star game Friday and Saturday. And then I actually got a week off because the Hawks have their bye week that week. Mm-hmm. And that's Super Bowl Sunday. So I'll be in Washington, I think, on that weekend of Super Bowl Sunday. And then come back home. And then I think
when do you come home? Saturday night?
No,
late?
I got to come home Sunday because I got that game on NBC on Sunday afternoon. I'll be in Wash. So.
Nice.
And speaking of hockey, just, you know, Patrick Kane's only, I should have known this. I think he's only 6 points, 5 points shy of 1,000 in his career. Do you know that?
Patty Kane.
Yeah. I think it's 5 points now. Yeah. 5 points.
It's funny. I was doing something for Chevrolet. I do voice commercials. And I pulled up a picture, and it's at the auto show in 2000 and I think 7 or 8. Yeah. What year did Kaner make his debut?
Well, no, it was before that, wasn't it? Wasn't it back in 6-7? Wasn't it 6-7 or 7-8?
Patrick Kane made his major league debut. He had just made his debut. I think he was in the 07 draft,
okay, so if 07, I'm right. 08.
So he made his debut the 07-08 season. Yeah. So it was February of 07 at the auto show. February of 08 at the auto show. Yeah. And the two guys they bring over to do my radio show that night, they take a picture. It's me with awful hair, Patrick Kane, and Jonathan Toews.
Yeah.
The three of us.
Yeah.
And it was like, holy jeez.
Approaching 1,000 points. It's incredible.
Yeah, he has right now in his career, total points, 995.
Yeah, 995.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He's got 57 this year. Where will he finish?
With how many points?
Can he get 100 again?
Let's see. What do they got? 36 games left?
Be tough.
Yeah, you're going to have to go on. He's going to have to go on a heater.
Yep.
He's going to have to go on a Artemi Panarin run.
He's had two cap. Artemi Panarins.
He had five points last night in their winning. I think he was in on every goal. He's third leading scorer in the NHL right now. So he's going to have to get... You're going to have to get 15-7, right? He's going to have to go on one of those type of runs to really give him a chance. So look, I mean, if anybody can do it, certainly Kane.
How many game-winning goals does he have in his career?
47.
62. That's a lot of game-winning goals. Wow. I wonder how many game-winning goals you have.
Not enough.
As many as him?
No. Not a chance.
Double digits.
How many six-point games does Kane have?
Well, I don't know.
Close your eyes. What do you see?
Nothing.
Exactly. How many of Edsel has in his career?
Two.
Got him. That's right.
How about that?
Yeah, Cap, take that.
I got to see. How many game-winning goals do you think you have?
I don't know. I'm going to say 27. I don't know.
I'm going to say 14.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the confidence. Right? Danny, Chris, both those guys said, they whispered to Mayor Edsel, he had at least 80. I mean, at least these guys have a little confidence in me. You sit there and go, you didn't have any.
All right, I'll guess again.
No, forget it. Too late. Oh, I'm going to guess again.
Edzo, isn't it amazing how Trubisky before the season was going to throw 40 touchdown passes, but when it comes to the Edzo, it's seven. Goal winning.
I'm going to say you had 40.
Yeah, you know what? He's going to be the MVP. I'm going to bet all my money on him to be the MVP.
All the faith in Trubisky, none in Edzo.
Here we go. Eddie Olczyk, game-winning goals. Danny, how many are you guessing?
Well, he had 342 career goals, correct?
Yeah.
I would say at least 300 of them were game winners.
Chris? Yeah.
301, Bob.
37.
Okay, What did I say? 40 something? No.
You said 27.
Oh, really? That's more. Wow.
I said 40.
Right. You said 14.
See, Edzo, more.
I'm just messing with
you. You're a crook.
More than Trubisky touchdown passes.
Okay, let's see how good.
Over, under.
Let's see how good Danny and Chris and the people out there in Radio Land are. Eddie Olczyk has the same number of goals as home runs hit by this former Chicago baseball superstar.
Are we saying he's currently around, or are we saying he's watching from above?
Well, we're not saying.
Oh, we're not saying. Okay. All right.
Can you tell us what team he was on?
Sure.
He was on both Chicago teams.
He would lose his glasses every once in a while during a broadcast. So.
Sammy Sosa.
That would be Ron Santo. At 342 career homers, Eddie, 342 goals.
I'm very proud of that, by the way.
How about that?
I'm very proud of that, Cap. Very proud of that.
And if you make a comeback, you need 201 points to tie Kaner.
Nah, that's definitely not happening. That's not. I thought I had something going on when I had my 18-game scoring streak when I was in Toronto in the late 80s, and it set a record for American-born players in the NHL. Consecutive scoring streak was the longest in NHL history for an American-born player.
Uh-huh.
And then Kaner was like at 14 or 15, and I made the comment to him. He goes, we were just talking, and he had heard I had a streak like that. He goes, what do you think? I go, not bad, but, talk to me when you get to 18, He got to 18, and he went flying by it. I think he went to 24 or 26 that year, and then he had another heater he went on where I think he got 21 or 22. So, Yeah. So anytime he gets a 4 or 5 point game, I'm like, geez, should I really go up to him and say, you know, that's pretty good, kid, but you know what? Talk to me when you get a 6 pointer.
Does he know that you had a 6 pointer? Have you ever said it?
Yeah. I mean, in passing every once in a while, yes. I had two, not just one. I had two. 2 6-point games. Come on. Have a little confidence here.
Pretty funny. 2 6-point. That's incredible. How many goals?
I think both of them. I had two and four in both games. 2 goals, 4 assists. Yeah.
And the most goals you ever had in a game?
Just 3.
You had a hat trick.
Yeah. Never had a four.
Never had a four goal game.
No.
That would be amazing. Yeah. By the way, the Twitter question we asked on the show today, in the wake of MLB's punishment of the Houston Astros for their sign-stealing scandal, do you believe the 2017 Houston Astros should have their World Series title stripped? Right now, 3,097 votes in, 65% say yes. Strip it away.
Really?
Surprised it's not higher.
Wow. Okay.
But 65, 35 right now. 312-332-3776. By the way, Nate Dunworth said, I've heard the Cap Man say some crazy stuff. Chris Bleck's take that if the Astros were to get stripped of the title and a fan said, yeah, but they're still champs because they got to celebrate, that's the worst take ever heard on the show.
Tell me it didn't happen, Cap.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. It happened.
No, it does not matter,
happens.
Chris.
Life happens.
Chris.
Yeah. No, we experienced it.
No.
Yes, we did.
Because if I found out that the Cubs cheated to win in 16.
You still celebrated?
And it would all be soiled. All the memories would be gone.
Okay, well, Cap, don't soil yourself. How about that? There it is. Don't soil yourself. It happened. Wow. You partied. Just don't soil yourself.
Bad.
Go to sleep before it happens.
Bad. All right, we got to take a fast timeout. 312.
Take
332-3776.
Take that. Enzo, go get him. Oh. Push him into the boards over there for me.
He doesn't want any of this. We'll take a quick timeout.
Yeah, really? Exactly.
We'll come right back, talk to Carmen and Yurko on Crosstalk.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Next.